This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Hey, Leroy. What? Your mama, she's calling you, man.
Welcome to the Pete and Sebastian Show. We're up and running here, live from Los Angeles, live from Fredonia. We're meshing it in today, zooming it out.
Yeah.
Lots to get. I mean, I don't know. This has been 3.5 weeks since we last did anything remotely close to a podcast. I've been on a lot of podcasts between the last time I saw you and now. I got some tips and pointers from people who are succeeding in the podcast space. Not that we're not succeeding, but we're nowhere near where we need to be. And I think I got some clarity on that. Number two, my hip is killing me. My left hip is killing me. And I need to know, before we go any further, from you, prior to getting your hip surgery, what does it feel like in the hip that you're like, oh, I can't? Do you remember the pain, where it's coming from, what you couldn't do, or what?
It's like inside. There is so much to get into, bro. You're like on another level of stardom. The show, I can't even wait to discuss that. It's so good. Right in here. Can you see?
Yeah, in the inner? Here? Yeah.
In the inner, yeah. Right in there, it would just hurt so bad that I couldn't even walk. I remember, like, long story short, going on a walk with Jackie and Sadie around the reservoir in Fredonia. I had to sit on a rock and wait for them to come back around. I just couldn't walk. I talked about it on the cast. And the doctor said, when I went in to see him, you're going to need hip surgery. When should I do it? I said. He goes, listen, let's just get you all set up as far as when the time comes, we're ready to go. And we did all that, all the tests and blah, blah, blah. Now it's up to you. When you feel you can't take the pain anymore, we'll set it up. I came back from that reservoir. I'm like, make the call. And, you know, it was all set and ready to go. So, I mean, is this just like feel like a pulled groin? Is this like constant
now? This is on the outside. I don't think it's a hip replacement. I definitely think I tweaked it while I was kayaking with my daughter. And let me take you through this experience. We were in Naples, Florida over Thanksgiving, and Seraphina and I decided to go out on the kayak. I've been on a kayak before. It's in the bay. It's not, you know, the water was like glass, but when I went out this time, there was a bit of a current. Seraphina's in the front. I'm in the back with an oar. I get out into the water, and right away I notice that I don't really have a lot of control of the vessel.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
I start to drift towards the homes. I can't maneuver the damn thing. Seraphina's having a ball. Oh, my God, Daddy, this is so fun. I'm in the back trying to maintain composure because I don't want her to feel like we're in danger or Daddy is old and feeble.
No, yeah. There is nothing more frightening in a little girl's world than seeing her father go, oh, fuck. You know, that's like end of the world shit for a girl under 10. You know what I'm saying? Or run. Go, God. What, Dad? What the fuck? Run? I'm with you, guy. Sorry, you're trying to play the hero. You're trying to play it cool. All right, one oar. So you got, are you doing one of these, guy? A lot of this?
Yeah. I'm trying to, like, steer, you know.
Oh, it's got two heads?
Yeah.
What are you, guy? What are you doing? What are you riding the fucking rapids? You're in over your head. Double-headed oar.
Double-headed oar.
In a bay?
In a bay headed towards a basically a retaining wall that holds up a home. Right. So we're headed there, and she's like, "Daddy, Daddy, we're getting close." No, she's like, "We're getting close to the house." Like, "Yeah, it's okay, it's okay." And I'm thinking to myself, "All right, I ain't having her take the brunt. We're not going to head on." So I kind of skid the thing. We come up sideways, and I gotta put my hand up on the wall. Now I turn around. Lana's in a kayak. It's a single person kayak, and she's got Caruso on her lap. And she, the way she looks, you would think she was on the dock. No move, beautiful. I go, you ain't getting this current? Why am I getting pulled in? And she looks beautiful. Hair beautiful, Caruso laughing. And I'm up against the wall thinking it's the end of the world. I'm ready to tell my daughter, get out.
That's your street. You grew up on the street, guy. I mean, I know you grew up in the suburbs, but, you know, you didn't grow up on kayaks, guy. Come on.
No. They grew up on kayaks. So we were out there for about 10 minutes. I pulled it back in. And I think in the activity of trying to get the thing back into the dock, I think I pulled something in my hip, because since then, man, I got a burning pain on my left side trying to get rid of it.
It is when you're rowing or kayaking or something like that, whoever's in charge, when it gets to the point, we went on the 4th of July, same sort of a thing. When you're in the back and you're steering it into something that the other person on the boat has to use their hand to push off from, you're not doing a good job. It's embarrassing. You know what I'm saying? It should be. So here you are telling your daughter you're fine. Next thing you know, you're up against the fucking break wall for a house. Guy, what are we doing? You know?
That's what I'm saying, you know. It's like age, and I'm not saying, you know, I don't want to harp on that whole age thing and, oh, I'm old or what. It's not the case. I'm just saying, I just don't know when, you know, like, for example, when's the last time you played like a half-court basketball game?
I can't anymore. I can't afford what might happen if I did. I don't even toy with that. I want to focus one more time on, I've kayaked and I've rowed and row boats and all that my life. And like every time I've ever done it, it's almost always been because like there's nothing else to do. You know what I mean? It's never been like, I've never been dying to go in a canoe or in a kayak, right? It's always like, what the fuck, we're doing this. You know what I'm saying? And then you ever see those people doing it where they go upside down for like 30 seconds, then they pop back? I'm like, what the fuck? Holy shit. Are they even under there trying to get out, or are they just like, oh, I'll just do it upside down for a little? It's fucking nuts. People are nuts, dude. So, what? You know, how bored were you, guy, that you like to take the kayaks out on the fucking bay?
Well, you know, with kids, you're looking for stuff to do like that. You know, like, that's how do we kill? Right. How do we kill an hour here? Hey, let's get in the kayak, see what happens. Next thing you know, I come back to land, I need crutches.
And when you get out of the kayak at the end, if like Serafina sees like a little shell and bends down, you'll stand there and take that time as long as, if she stares at it for 20 minutes, let's do 20. We'll burn 20 looking at the shell, whatever. Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes to get to nighttime, bro. That's basically what parenting has become. As soon as they get up, how many things do we have to do to get to nightfall where we can go back to bed again?
Oh, man. Anything that you get a good run, you're like, oh, God, I think we're going to burn a half hour. Right? All right,
so. We did go looking for shells, and I got to tell you, shells, that's a 3-4 hour day, bro. They could sit out there and collect.
That's a, right. I know.
It's beautiful. It was beautiful.
It is. Yeah. Sadie likes sea glass. It's a Pepsi bottle that's been in the water long enough. That's art to her. You know? But it's the same thing, right? They hold it up, they rinse it off and shit. It's nice. Yeah, you don't need hip surgery, bro. You just pull something. Let's not get crazy.
I know. Let's not jump the gun here.
from billion-dollar ad budgets and arena naming rights to tens of thousands of retail locations, big wireless providers spend big to appear like they're your only option. How do they afford it all? That big bill you get every month, that's how. But with Mint Mobile, they had a different idea. Instead of a brick-and-mortar overhead, Mint Mobile is online only. What's that mean for you? A whole lot of savings. Because wireless plans from Mint Mobile start at just $15 a month. That's unlimited talk, text, and data for just $15 a month. For anyone who hates their phone bill, which is all of us, Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with all your existing contacts. By going online only and eliminating the traditional cost of retail, Mint Mobile passes significant savings onto you. Significant, man. Switch to Mint Mobile and get premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/thecast. All right? That's mintmobile.com/thecast. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/thecast. How could you not take them up on that deal, baby?
We had Thanksgiving. My father-in-law took everybody out on a boat to do tubing through the canals of Naples. Actually, channel of water. And bro, I'm sorry, man. I just we're going through the channel, and there's like kind of markers in the water. You know, the markers are made out of, like, it looks like a big tree, and it's got a sign on it, you know, whatever, no wake or whatever. And my father-in-law's whizzing by these markers with the kids on the back, right? I mean, one slight move, the kid could go right into the marker, and that's the end of that. Right. I can't relax at all doing these activities that I'm not used to or I didn't grow up doing. The whole 2 hours I had anxiety that the kid was gonna fall off.
Right. And it's not, and again, because I'm not putting it on you, I'll say it with me, because I get the same way. Like at amusement park when my kid goes on a dangerous ride, I can't look. I'm like, and it's not that, like, of course, I love my child, and I don't want anything to happen to my child, but it's just a massive inconvenience to my life if something would have fucking happened right now. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we got a smooth operation right now, knocking on wood. Everything's running tight. Why are we risking it to go 5 fucking feet past a floating sign in the water, right? It's an unnecessary risk. Unnecessary risk. We're not getting anything out of it. It's like diving in a shallow water. For what? Who gives a shit?
I agree. The benefits do not outweigh the consequences of, you know, possibly one of those tracks at one of these amusement parks. Yeah, these amusement parks and these carnivals and whatnot. Yeah. You know, you always see a video where the Ferris wheel is going, and next thing you know, it starts to, you know, you ever see it where it starts to, like, oh, it's out of control, right? That's me, my family at a carnival. That would happen to me because I would be worried that's going to happen. And of course, I would reluctantly say to Lana, yeah, just let him go. And next thing you know, my kid is going in a 360 at 48 miles an hour.
Oh, shit. And you're chasing after them. But no, don't you feel if you really think something like that hard enough, it could happen? Like, I feel like if I'm on a plane, I'm like, this plane's going down. I feel like it's going down. I'm like, stop saying that. You're going to make it go down if you keep fucking saying that shit.
Why doesn't it work in the opposite? Like, we always think the negative is going to happen. What if you did something positive and said, oh, you know what? I'm going to come into a lot of money next month.
Because
what?
My mind don't believe me.
My mind don't believe me. I've said to my mind, I'm going to be a big star someday. And my mind said, you don't even think that. No, you don't. I believe that you think you might die on this plane, but you don't think you're going to be in movies, guy.
All right, you're right. If I could just make a living telling jokes, that'd be good.
All right, we can do that. We're doing that. We're doing that.
Oh, you know, the power of positive.
It's the power of positive thinking. Just because you say it in a mirror,
I'm going to do great things. I'm going to do great things. I'm going to do.
But in your head, you're like, no, I'm not. I wouldn't be talking to this fucking mirror if I really thought I was. Tim Robbins, whatever this shit.
Tony.
I mean, you just got really funny. More people kept coming to your show, and you kept making them laugh. And ta-da, I'm doing a Chuck Lorre hit on HBO Max. It's fucking great, bro. It's great. I'm really loving it.
All right, thank you, but I think it's Anthony Robbins, not Tim Robbins.
Tony.
All right, guys, we are full bore into the holidays here. It is go time. We're having some friends over, actually, for a little dinner party before we take in the new year. And we were trying to figure out what to get, what to do. And I did it. I did the smart move. I went with the filet mignons from Omaha Steaks. I'm not playing games. If I want to eat the best, I got to buy the best. And the holidays are here. You should do the same. Let Omaha Steaks take the guesswork out of gift shopping. Shop carefully curated gift packages that are guaranteed to make spirits bright all winter long. That's what happens when you go to Omaha Steaks. So that's what you want to do, baby. Go to omahasteaks.com and save 50% off statewide. Plus, you use the promo code THECAST at checkout and get an additional $30 off your order. Send tender, juicy, butcher's cut filet mignons, burgers, jumbo franks. They don't have it on my list here, but they even got these fantastic apple tartlets. Oh, my God. Thank you. Grandmother made them. This offer won't last long. I'm telling you, Omaha Steaks is ready to ship your order right away. So shop early and beat the shipping rush. Go to omahasteaks.com and use the promo code THECAST at checkout. Omaha Steaks is a gift from the heart, all right? It's a gift that will be remembered with every unforgettable bite, baby. Order with complete confidence today, knowing you're ordering the very best. Visit omahasteaks.com. Take advantage of 50% off statewide. Plus, use the promo code THECAST at checkout to get that extra $30 off your order. Minimum order may be required. All right? As I said, get them the best. You're already listening to the best cast. You may as well order them the best meat. I'm out.
You see these Instagram videos of like, oh, the positivity, and you wake up, gratitude. I don't do any of this shit. I don't write down goals. Do you do this? Do you write that? Oh, my goals for 2024. I want to have the podcast be in the top 10. And, oh, just because I wrote it on the paper, that's going to fucking happen?
It's going to fucking happen. No, I'm the same way. I don't write goals either because, like, I can write a goal. Like, when I write goals, they're only goals because I got nothing else going on. I can have a goal going, this year I'm going to blah, blah, blah. And then the phone rings. Hey, Kevin, you want to write on my sitcom? Fuck that goal. I'll be right there, Kev. You know? Goals are what you make when you got nothing going on.
My goals just they happened. Like just like that. Like that
yeah.
Kevin right. asked you to do his show. That's a goal.
Yeah.
That's it. That just happened.
Better than the goal I wrote down. I'd rather do that goal.
Oh, shit.
You were like, oh, I'm going to do a TV show. And then Chuck Lorre says, want to do one with me? Yeah, all right. I was going to do my own, but that's a better goal to do one with a legend like you. We'll do it together.
Oh, God.
Oh. But so, I don't know. Does that work? It looks like it works for Tom Cruise, like, perfectly. He's the only one who knows how to do the yo-yo, you know?
I don't know. Well, that guy's operating on a different level. We all know that. He's, you know, he gets up and... I just want to see, like, I just want to see again, and I hate to talk about crews like this because, you know, a lot of people go, oh, Tom Green. But, I mean, just a typical day, what this guy does. From the time this guy gets up, the time this goes to the time he goes to bed, what is this guy doing and how does he do it? What does he eat? You know, does he sleep in pajamas? What does he do?
Oh, God, I hope not. I don't know. But like, do you think he does, like, climb halfway out of bed, lean against the edge of it, and cough and go, oh, what the fuck? You know? I think he kind of does, like, a body push-up, like a, like, what, you ever see, like, a break dancer on their back, and they do a jerk move, and they land on their feet? That's how he gets out of bed.
He does a back spring out of bed, right? Like,
yes, yes. Oh, God. And then his assistant just tosses him a toothbrush in the air. He catches it. Fucking going. I don't know, man. Yeah. So anyway, oh, like you said, man, let's not hop.
Yeah. Let's we're going to go down that road.
From Boston. What a year for the cast. Although I wanted to bust your balls about the new format of interviewing other comedians who also have their very own podcast, or how you drop in yeast infection ads mid-sentence, and how that sentence is usually just about how moist Tom Cruise makes you both, but it's the holidays, and it's been a while. So all I'll say is congrats, Bisque, on that new HBO gambling show. I saw it. Funny shit, kid. And congrats on the new authentic tour, Petey. I hear you crushing it out there, brother. I just hope you're handling the mic on tour better than you did talking about building codes on Fredonia Public Access Television, because that shit was uncomfortable. You're better than that, kid. Anyway, Merry Christmas, boys. Love you, DJ Lou, you bald-headed beauty, you.
I gotta tell you this, and then we'll pop over to you. I'm putting Serafina to bed three nights ago, and she starts giggling, looking at me. Mm-hmm. It's dark, right? She goes, Daddy, I think you and Mommy eat the cookies on Christmas. I go, what? Yeah, I think you also hide the Easter eggs. You and Mommy do that. And she's laughing during this. Now, she's six. I wasn't prepared at all for this conversation at all. Like, I don't even have any rebuttals yet. I'm thinking this is going to happen 8-9 years old, right? So this is 3 years earlier than my anticipated timeline. And I said, nah, why would you say that? That's Santa's job. That's the Easter Bunny's job. We don't do that. I go, who told you this? Right away, I'm at the kids at school, right? Right away, I'm upset. She's like, well, nobody, which I don't think that's true. But she also said the handwriting on the cards are the same handwriting Mommy has. Like, two Serafina from Santa. Right. This one's picking out the hieroglyphics on the card,
that's
right?
That's it. CIA. This kid's already ready for the CIA. Like, that's deduction. That's smart, bro.
I know. So I leave the room. Bawling, right? I'm like, it's like one of those.
In what way bawling?
In what way bawling?
Like because the
magic is over.
God, you can't even come up with something on the fly about why Santa and Mom have the same kind of handwriting.
I said that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Santa's you know, real, and the Easter Bunny's real, you know. And we just left it at that. I didn't want to go down a road because my mind was at school, motherfucking parent, you know, like, you know, where my head was at.
Right.
I come out, I tell Lana, I go, she don't believe in Santa? No. She said something to me last night about it. I go, get on a text thread with the mothers at school and find out what's going on. So Lana shoots out a, hey, just want to know if your kids are questioning Santa Claus. What are you guys doing? One mother's like, I can't lie to my kid. I told her there was no Santa because I can't lie to my child. That's all I'm doing is lying over here, bro.
To my kids. I can't. I got so much to say about this, man. Because first of all, my daughter's 10 and she's not questioning Santa. I'm starting to think she's slow because of it. The other day she finally said, Dad, is there a Santa? And as I said to Jackie when she left, I go, what the fuck are you doing? Long division. You just learned about the war of 1812. But yeah, there's a fucking elf making your fucking computer right now, soldering at the North Pole. I mean, Jesus Christ, you going to make me say it out loud? You know it. You know the deal, you know? But, you know, so that's kind of where I'm at. But like last year, she's got a cousin that like, it was the last year, the year before, that said to Sadie, I don't think it's real, right? So Sadie said it, some friends were asking her, and she goes, I think it's our parents. We got a call or an email from one of the parents who's a friend of Sadie's saying, you know, we still believe, our kids still believe, and Sadie said, da, 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 I would appreciate it if, and you're them right now, you and Lana. Can't believe you called the other parents. Can't believe you're those parents.
We just put out a text asking the parents,
You deal internally.
Is your kid,
you deal internally.
No. I got to find the source of the problem.
Yeah, well, okay? I mean, what about this now, handwriting thing? Wasn't that?
Okay. Take that into consideration. But what I'm saying is, listen, in the 80s, all the parents were on the same page. Right?
They were. I agree.
No parent was going outside we're going to tell that there's no Santa Claus to our kid because we don't want it. There was no parent like that. You stayed on course, and that was it. You know, like, you didn't give your...
Right.
You didn't... There's a problem here. Another problem. The parents giving the kids the iPhones, right? So... Right. It's going to be a time where Serafina's going to go, well, so-and-so's got an iPhone at school. Well, you know what? Why don't all the parents get to fucking gather and go, listen, at 15, just like a license or whatever, is when they get an iPhone. Or when it happens all at the same time. You can't have a six-year-old with an iPhone at school and then my daughter come home and go, more. So-and-so's got an iPhone, and I gotta go, no, we ain't that family.
Yeah, that's what you do, though, but that's what you do, bro. You be stronger. You be the stronger parents. I hear you.
Yeah.
You can't. I'm with you, bro. You can't, though. You can't, like, make it a law. You just gotta make it, you know, when your kid gets older, then you can brag and go, because I didn't give her the iPhone at 15. Look at it now, all these ones. Because, you know, I'm right there. And as far as this Santa, I hear you. It's like, you got one parent who's ruining it for everybody. But we're living in a time where parents, kids are your daughter's age, say they want to be the opposite sex and the parents is okay. So, you know, do you think the kid's going to come and go, not only do I not want to be a girl, I want to be a boy. Oh, and by the way, is there a Santa? You can be a boy, but of course there's a Santa. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's a free-for-all out there. You got to keep it internal now. So but do you get her back on track or you really think she doesn't believe?
I'm going as far as possibly hiring a Santa Claus on Christmas Eve come in, and I go, Serafina, he's here. And we get a glimpse of him under the tree to bring back the magic.
Right.
What you take?
I think it's got to be done sooner. And I think the angle is literally like you almost got to combine a couple of things to make it something she'll believe. She's old enough now to be have a general awareness of what dad does, right? Relatively speaking, compared to other, you know, people out there. Some of the things they've done and seen, she gets it right a little bit now. Like, wow, why can't we say, Dad,
you know how he does the shows and a lot of people like that. He knows Santa and he made a call. And now Santa, and so Santa came down from the North Pole because of Dad's connections, just to be like, I heard you don't believe in me. I really, you know, your father's made a lot of people laugh for many years, so I felt like I'd come and do him this favor. I'm very busy right now, but what's going on that you might not? And you bring in, like, whoever's playing Santa in Miracle on 34th Street on Broadway, you hire that guy. You fly him out to your home to do this for about a half hour and then just split. I mean, that's believable.
You know, I know my kid. You know what she would ask Santa?
What?
Where's your reindeers? And what do I got to find? I got to get 9 reindeers on the roof? Huh?
Well, listen, right? I can't. The reindeer right now are training. When it gets this close to time to go, they go into a training where they start preparing on the off for any kind of outcome. So I came here on my own. I'll take you to Burbank with me. You can see the private jet I came in on. It's the same when your dad's flying me back to New York.
So I want to rewind though to your daughter at 10, right? And I've often thought this prior to Serafina even telling me, going, how in the hell are kids even believing this stuff? Because, to your point, an elf is making a computer. We're going to see Santa today at the mall, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're a kid and you go, what is this Santa doing here? Like, I just saw Santa at this mall, and then last week when we went to the other mall, there was a Santa there. What the hell are all these Santas doing around?
Right.
So what's the explanation of multiple Santas?
Well, that's interesting because for Sadie, she kind of came up with it on her own pretty much right away anyway. She knew they weren't the real Santa, but that these Santas that you see, they are in touch with the real Santa. And the real Santa knows they're out there representing the North Pole, so... You're not meeting the real Santa, but you're meeting a guy that knows Santa. So we're like, all right, whatever. They just want to believe so bad. It's no different than, like, you know, a guy's wife has been cheating on him and he finally catches her and he's not even that sad because he knows she's been cheating, but he just couldn't admit it to himself, you know, because he wanted to believe. I want to believe she's not. I want to believe it.
And I love her. I love her.
You know, I just think they try to hold on to it way past. I mean, come on. She literally got to the point, bro, where she said, I know the Tooth Fairy's fake and I know the Easter Bunny's fake, Dad, but I mean, Santa's real. Okay. That was at one point, you know?
Well, the questions that they're tossing us, I don't even think I questioned this shit when I was a kid. She just lost her front tooth, and the Tooth Fairy came, and she goes, is there a Tooth Fairy for every kid, or is there a fairy that takes care of all the kids? Right? Yeah. How would you answer that? One fairy?
I'd say one. What about you? What do you say?
I told her, you have your own tooth fairy. And you have 20 teeth. And she's responsible for all 20 teeth. You have your own personal fairy. And she has a name. And I forgot. She named it. I forgot what she named. She actually asked the tooth fairy in a letter, what's your name? And then my wife, and listen, bro, it's gotten sickening with the, and I would assume that you guys, first of all, does Sadie put her teeth under the pillow?
Yeah, but in a little thing that's like, looks like a tooth, and you put your tooth in there,
You got to slide underneath the pillow while she's sleeping, take that out, and then slip some cash underneath there?
Yes. Wow. One time, Jackie got caught. And she's like, hey, it's just... Because, like, she'll go to bed, and then we're watching TV, and then when we go to bed, Jackie put the money in, and Sadie rolled over and's looking at it, and Jackie's like, I'm just making sure you're sleeping okay. You know, and we're both laughing afterwards, like, yeah, like, when do we ever go back in 2 hours later and pat her on the head like Little House on the Prairie? You comfortable? Even Sadie's looking like, yeah, just put the fucking $5 under the pillow, please, to wake me up. Jesus Christ.
Oh, when I started... what I started doing about a year and a half ago, I go in to their room and give them a little kiss on the cheek while they're sleeping. And Serafina kind of wakes up. She's like, hey, Daddy. And goes back to bed. I go. And I'm doing it because there's going to be a time where it's not going to be cute. I'm going to give them a kiss and they're going to look at me going, the fuck you doing in here? Right? Yeah. So I'm relishing in these little moments. Because Lana was doing it. I go, where are you going? She goes, I give them a kiss goodnight while they sleep. I go, I felt like I was missing out. Like, how come you didn't tell me you were doing that? I didn't even know you could do that. I didn't know you could do that.
Now, the question is, do you know when the time is done to do that? Or do you, know, you think like you're going to walk in and your son's going to be like, you know.
I'm going to walk in, maybe. My son's going to be doing something that, you know.
Don't. Well, that means, right? that means you know, he's well into his teens. You're still going in there for the cheek. Yeah, you know.
Well, when's too old to go in there? When's too, like, if you went in tonight, gave Sadie a little kiss on the cheek, do you think that still would be cute? Or is that just like...
Yeah. I mean, I still give her a kiss all the time, like whenever I want, grab it. You know, she'll like, ow, dad, all right. Or like when I kiss her, all right, like that. But, you know, yeah, cheek always. But, yeah, not like so much when she's sleeping. Like I don't really walk in and give her a kiss. I will say this, though. Does this make me mean? Like now she's getting to the age where like sometimes she'll come over and she'll like sit on my lap just to talk to me, you know? And like my first thought is, what's going on here? Like, what is she trying to get out of? Or she'll like come over and hug me randomly. I'm like, random hug? What the? Yeah, like my mom never gave me a random hug. Like I never would go up to my mom in 1975. I don't know where. She'd be like, what the fuck? I'm cooking and shit. You know, we hugged, but it was always like,
yeah,
like, happy birthday. Like, it was just a random.
Yeah, there was no random acts of you. Kindness.
Right. Don't you find in your family, I'm sure, that there's a lot more random, I love you, just flying all over the place. When I grew up and someone said it was like, fucking knock you back off your feet like an airplane tailpipe or something, you know what I'm saying? What'd you just say? Nothing. What the fuck? Dude, I didn't hear nothing.
But growing up, like if my dad said I love you, it was like through a cough or something. It was like, oh, how are you? Like, it was inaudible.
I had about half a bottle of white wine in it before she said I love you. Not, I mean, you know, I know they loved us. They just didn't throw it around, you know?
No, you're right. We're throwing it around like constantly over here, you know?
Right.
I walk me through the house. I see Serafina. I go, I love you, baby girl. She's like, I love you, daddy. And, you know, and my dad believes that it dilutes the meaning of I love you, because he believes, like, my dad, this is when I love you is going to mean something. Well, my dad is on his deathbed, right? And he takes his last gasp of air and he goes, I love you. That to my dad is like the epitome of the word the phrase I love you, right? Like,
right.
He ain't gonna say it on the phone
right.
on a Tuesday after we had a conversation.
right. All right. He's almost that last breath. He's touching your cheek. I love you. And you're like, whoa. Now, it's like, now I know what he meant. It was the most powerful I love. It's like Stallone wanting to go back to Southpaw and, you know, not yet. No! Right, but your dad's on to something. I mean, you know, he's a Sicilian man. He's pretty cold. He could be rough around the edges. But in this case, I got to say, this is tough love, but it makes a lot of sense because it's, you know, I hear I love you sometimes from my own kid, and to your father's point, I'm like, all right, what's behind this? When are we gonna, what do we want to watch TV? What do we want here? You know? Because it's just flying around a little too much. Or yeah, else I feel my daughter will go, sorry, bro, one last thing, but she'll go like, Dad, I love you. Mom, I love you. You guys need anything? Like, and I don't know if she'd be saying this stuff, right? But then like she'll go off into the other room and she's so happy, but I'm like, why, like, is there an insecurity I'm not seeing? It's because maybe she's an only child. I said to Jack, is she afraid, like, if something happens to us, she's, like, alone? So there's this overly coming in, being like, I love you, and I love you. Or, like, Jackie's like, she's just a nice, happy kid. And I'm like, oh, all right. Because I didn't do it. I never skipped into the kitchen. I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. My father... Father, be like, if you love me, go mow the fucking lawn. Holy shit.
So, anyway.
Is that weird, bro? I mean, you know, what's your take on that? Am I cold or something?
No, I just don't think you grew up with a lot of that around the house. So now it's foreign to you, and you're associating with it with your kid wanting something and not just genuinely being happy and you know.
Right.
Yeah, I would embrace that rather than like push it away.
Well, I don't know. It's like when you're at a party and you're having a good time, you don't sit there going, I'm having a good time. I'm having a good time. And then I'm thinking, you must not be having a good time because why would you keep saying, you know? I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it. But same thing. Like, if I was your son, you came in and kissed me on the cheek, I'd be like, what's with this 10:30 at night kiss now? What's this? Where's this coming from?
No, I come in on a kiss on my son on the cheek, right? And he don't, this kid don't move. Like, Serafina, you give her a kiss and she lights up and then she goes back to bed. You give Caruso a kiss on the cheek and it's like, this guy's in a deep, deep sleep. He don't even feel it, right? So, I'm going to continue to do this until I feel it's at an age where it's like, all right, me and they'll come in at 15 and give your son a kiss on the hair.
Yeah.
In the head. And,
that's cool, man. You guys are going to have a really cool relationship for your whole life, man. It's cool. Do you kiss your dad by any chance? Can I ask you that? When you see him now, like, do you guys kiss now or like a hug?
Nah, it's a hug. I haven't kissed my father and God damn, I don't know when the last time my father and I had any affection through lips. Not even on the cheek, bro.
No, well, that's what I really mean, like the old hugging.
Well, you know what? It's funny, like when he leaves, we hug. But even the hug is like... it's a hug, but it's not too long, right? Like... in your opinion, a hug goodbye on your parents, what's the time limit on that? Like, seconds.
I would like to think, in a perfect world, the hug with a parent lasts until the parent decides to let go. Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, when I hug my daughter, I don't give a shit when she's done with it. I'll let you know when I'm done with it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm your father. So, you know, when you're hugging with your dad, you know, do you find him pulling away and you're, oh, geez, I didn't know. Like, and then you release because he released? Or is it a simultaneous release? Or do you feel you're holding on a little less?
I feel like when I'm hugging anybody, I'm the one to break the hug.
I feel the few times I hug you that you can't wait for it to be over.
Back off.
And I don't think you don't like me or anything. I just think that you're not like, yeah, you know.
You know what? Now that you think, now that you say it.
Yeah.
You come in on a hug.
Right.
With two arms, right? Like, you come in like this, right? So,
but I don't hug everybody I know. So when someone reaches that, yeah.
It leaves me a little dumbfounded because I don't know, like, do I come up underneath your armpits or do you come underneath my armpits? I feel like when you come in on a hug, do you go underneath somebody's armpits or do you go around their shoulders?
I usually come a shoulder, yeah. Over the shoulder. I don't come under. You know, I'm usually, yeah.
I think I
That'd be weird if I came under. You'd be like, was he fucking picking me up? Like, you know, you go.
Yeah, but like, you don't rest your two arms on my shoulders.
No, I come like that, and then you usually come like that. And like, you know, you pat me like that. Same thing on my side you do. And then like, you know, you're like.
I tend to lean in on a right lean in on a one arm. And
yeah.
It's like, there's a show. I put my shoulder right into your chest plate. Right. And when my head goes away from your head and then I release. I think that, right. I think that's kind of like a man hug. The way you're coming in. Is like, yeah. We were in the army, and I was captured, right?
Right.
And right. No. Six years go by, right? And I was released, and we're reuniting for the first time after 6 years.
Oh, man. Oh, shit. No. My hug to you, I feel, is mafia social club, Christmas party. I'm hugging you, and in your head, you're like, if you had to put your money on it, this is the one guy that would never whack me or rat me out. That's the hug. Hey, you know, fly me to the moon. Coming in, guy. That's what I'm seeing it as. Next time you hug your dad, hold it. See what's up. See if he, like, tries to...
You know what? I'm going to try your method. I'm going to come in big on the hug, and I ain't going to release until they release. And you know what? Like, if they release, like,
kiss
if you're
on
in
the
a hug.
Kiss your dad right on the cheek. Plant him one right on the cheek, man. Melt. He'll melt.
You think so?
Come on. He's more American than Sicilian at this point. Soften him up. Boom. What about. Yeah.
Go ahead.
What if you played professional soccer? They practically make love after somebody scores. I saw a highlight the other day. Did you see that one? The guy comes from behind, picks up his teammate. But when he picks him up, say this is his ball sack, he comes so low that he's got the guy's balls, and he knows he does. Patrick can find this if he's listening. And as a joke, he stops, and he grabs his teammate's balls like this. It's for the crowd. And he goes like that, and then he lets him go. And his teammate's just like that while he's doing that while the guy's doing that to his balls. You know? So, I mean, you know, if you scored a goal, you'd look over at your teammate and be like, nobody fucking touch me, all right? I know you're glad.
I don't know where you're headed, but can you call in sick?
I gotta get going. It's good to see you, Phil.
We have to discuss the TV show Bookie. Okay. Is really great, dude. The response has been great. First of all, most of the reviews I saw were great, and then I saw it and it was great. But even the few reviews that maybe like were mediocre, they all said you were great. And dude, this character's great. The guy who was the NFL player, who's your partner, he's great. The whole thing. So. I'm just, what's your take on the one a week? It's like the Bookie only comes out every Thursday now on HBO Max. Now we got to wait a week. And I'm not used to waiting a week, man.
Yeah, Max does this where they don't give you it all at once. So what's going to happen is it's two episodes every Thursday for the next three weeks. So yeah. So you get two this
beautiful.
Thursday. Two next Thursday and two the following Thursday. So, they don't give you...
You guys.
They don't give you, like, the whole eight at once, so you don't binge watch the whole thing. I don't know exactly why they do that. But, it's good. It's been getting really good response. I'm really, really happy with the way people are enjoying it.
Nice.
I haven't got any word from, you know, and I think it's going to be a while until we get any word from, hey, are we going to do this again? But I would love, I mean, I would love to do another,
yeah,
you know, season of this. I mean,
of course.
It's a dream job, bro. It's like in LA, do 8 episodes. Yeah. It takes, what, 10 weeks? 10 weeks to do it. And, you know, working with those guys, Chuck Lorre, Omar Dorsey, who plays Ray, my partner. And the cast is great. Vanessa, who plays my sister, yeah, and Andrea, who plays
my wife.
She's
great. Everyone's great. And I love the way, especially when you're filming in L.A., you know, there's so many locations. You know what I mean? Because in L.A., you're here for a minute, then you got to go here, then you're here. So you, it's like, and dude, it's funny. It's really good. It's really good. So, you know, I hope it gets to come back. I look forward to catching the rest of them. I laughed out loud, which, like, you know, you don't do that much on shows these days, but it's really good, man. And well, it's, thanks. I don't know what's going to happen, you know, after the last episode with the knife. I'll leave it at that. So, yeah, way to go, bro. Fucking, and you're on everything now. Holy shit, you're everywhere. So, yeah, that's that.
Yeah, we did. I was in New York last week, and this brings me to kind of what I started saying from the get go with the podcasting. So, I did Andrew Schultz's Flagrant podcast, right? And I got to give it up. And I told him while I was there, I got to give it up to these younger comedians who do these podcasts, yeah, and walking into their environment and seeing kind of how it all works and whatnot. He's got like a loft up in, you know, in the middle of New York City. He's got like, you walk in, he's got like people there. You know, it's like, there's like 8 or 9 people. You know, he's got
right.
1, 2, 3 other guys that are on the podcast with him. And really cool, really, you know, casual, nothing too serious about it. But, you know, he says, you know, he's seen our podcast, and he, you know, this guy's doing really well with his podcast.
Bro, he's like the Tyler Perry of podcasting. I mean, forget it. He's a media mogul. I'm aware of all the stuff he's doing. Yeah, big time.
And he goes, guy, what are you doing on Zoom? Did you see his body language? Bro, it was almost like somebody just made fun of your mother. That's how you just reacted.
Well, I don't know. I never saw it as Zoom. We're on Zoom right now. I just that's what we go through.
Is this Zoom?
Hi, welcome to the Zoom interface.
He's like, you gotta be in the room.
You can't, gotta be in the room. Right.
He goes, nobody wants to watch two guys in separate locations. It's like, nobody wants to watch that.
Yeah.
Which, right, you know, you got a point, and we've definitely, you know, added a element to the podcast where, you know, I think, you know, a lot of people like this format. That our listeners like what we're doing now. But I think in order to really kind of make a splash in the podcast world, you got to be in the same room, which I agree with. But that being said, we have someone over there that is willing to, you know, share some ideas, what they do to kind of excel. I did Chris DeStefano's podcast, Chrissy Chaos. And something happened on the podcast, and I didn't know where to go with it. And I want Patrick to see if he could find it. He has like deformed feet. Could you bring up DeStefano's feet?
Does he do his out of New York as well?
Yeah, he does his out of New York. You know, they got like they rent a loft or whatever it is, and they set up a thing, and you know they just go with it. But I want you to take a look at his feet, all right? Because he brought it up on the podcast, and I didn't know he had this foot issue. And when I saw it, I had a reaction, but I didn't want to like go down this road of kind of making fun of his feet. He was making fun of his own feet, but I didn't know if he had like a deformity called, you know, feet euphoria or whatever. I don't know what he had, so I didn't really want to like make fun of his feet. But bro, this guy's feet are. Okay.
This is. Whoa! Oh, well, the good news is, like, at a quick glance, you don't even know there's a deformity there. But then when you look twice, it's like the problem is the big toe, right? Is outgrowing the rest of the team by too much?
Yeah, I don't know. It don't look right.
What? Well, I mean, you made it sound like I was going to be looking at, like, yeah, I know, but that's like. I don't even think if I was dating him that would be a deal breaker.
Bro, if I came to the pool, what? If I came mm-hmm. to the pool, you never saw my foot before, I take off my shoe and that comes out, you don't go, ooh, like, what happened?
What's the problem? The problem is that the big toe is too big, right? Too long?
I don't know, bro. It don't look like my foot. Don't look like your foot.
My foot is like, listen, you know, if
what do you mean?
That's like
the toe is too big.
I was expecting to see a peg, bro. Like literally no toes or something like that.
Well,
you know.
Well, yeah, your expectation does not meet the reality of what you're seeing now. But if you didn't have any expectation, and somebody took their shoe off and that was their foot, you would have to go, okay, there's a problem here.
That foot looks almost normal, bro. There's a disease, I forget what it's called, when you want to have a disease. Like there's a thing where you want to be handicapped or something. I think DeStefano wants to be handicapped, but he's not. So he's trying to find anything because that's a pretty that's like a normal, unattractive man's foot with a toe a little longer than the rest of the camp. That's all.
Just get it off. Get it off.
All right. So that was the big reveal, by the way, with Schultz. We got to be in the same room. There was nothing else. Nothing like, and told Corielli to stop cursing so much. Any more little tidbits?
No, there was no specific kind of one-offs of what we could be doing better. It was just more like you got to be in the same room. But we do have to figure out. I think you said you were going to come out here in January for a gig.
Yes, yes.
You got to give me those dates so we could line up Garcia and do some.
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome, bro. So the foot thing, I want to ask you something, okay?
Yeah.
So long story short, without getting too personal about it, I came across somebody that has very big feet, okay? And even needs custom shoes. It's a female friend of mine, okay? Put it at that. But they're not overly tall. So my question, I literally wrote it down because I thought it was fascinating. I wanted to ask you about in the cast. What's your take on, you meet a girl and you fall in love. You're taller and everything, you know? It's nothing like that. But her feet are bigger than yours significantly. Like to the point, if you're both under the covers and somebody walked in the room and only saw feet, they would think that she was the guy based on size. Could you be with a woman with a bigger shoe size than you? Was that too much of a turn off that way?
Well, I mean, is it like gigantic? Like, are we talking, a shoe size?
She doesn't
more?
Fit into your shoes. And her shoes would be like a size too big on you. Like you wouldn't fit into it. It's custom.
And she is taller than me? Or like is the
no.
foot proportionate to the body type?
No, that's the thing. It's not. The foot is not proportionate to the body type. The foot
so
is.
This woman could be 5'6 and wear a 10 shoe.
Right. I think it's more like maybe a 12 and a man at 5'6".
Bro, that's a big foot, man.
But, it's not someone I know well. I met them out and about. It's not like I'm going to run into them in town going, I heard you talking about my feet.
You just said female friend, all right, which
acquaintance.
I don't even...
Acquaintance.
And does she know she's got big feet, or was this a conversation? Like,
it was presented to me that, you know, I had said something about feet, and then when I met them, they're like, I wear custom shoes. Check it out. And then I was like, oh my gosh. And they're like, and the guy's like, her feet are fine. She just has giant feet, big feet, oversized feet for her. You know, she's a tall woman, but not taller than him. I mean, maybe she was like 5'8", 5'7", but still, I'm like, and he's like, her feet are tall, bigger than my feet. And I was like, no kidding. He's like, yeah, like she can't fit into my shoes. And I was like, oh, wow, you know, but in my head, I'm like, oh, wow. I don't know if I can get past that. I mean, you go to a bowling alley, I'm like, I'll take a 10 and my wife will take a 12 if you have it. Oh, God.
Men's? Listen.
So.
Listen, if you got big feet like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you go on the first date, right? Mm-hmm. Are you obligated to tell the person, listen, I wear a size 12 shoe. And I'm 5'6", 5'7". Or right. Do you just find that out when you're in bed one night and you look and you go, holy shit.
Right. Like, right.
Are you supposed to discover that? Or you think you should be told that?
That's right, right there with you. No, I think you gotta, I think it comes out. Oh, it comes out on the first date, but only if you're feeling as a man or woman that, you know, there is gonna be a second date, like things are going well. Then in your head, you're like, I mean, this is probably gonna go happen again, so let me peel this Band-Aid. Listen, I got a big foot, you know? But, you know, you come out in something that hides it well that day for the first date, you know, like some black shoe or something. You don't come out with a sandal. But I would let it be known. I can't just... I got to pretend?
I wish I could...
You wish what?
I wish I could see the foot. Like... It's a female foot, right? So if it's a size 12, does that look, does she still have like beautiful feet, like toenail pop, nice, and it just happens to be enlarged? Or does it look like a man's foot where it's like fat and the toes are not like delicate? Is it overgrown, I guess?
I've never seen it, but I would think it's like the first thing. I think it's a feminine foot, but I thought of it too because of, when you showed me that one, it was like DeStefano's foot. I don't think it's as it's deformed as much as it is just long. So take a woman's foot, 11 and a half, 12, something like that. Beautiful nail polish on the ends, but bigger than yours. I don't know. Like it's... And she's my foot at night.
She's beautiful, but her feet were jacked up. I pulled the covers back.
Yeah.
It was hammer time. I should have known something was up. I seen her shoes. It had little bumps on the top of the shoes when I met her, but I thought maybe it was an old shoe or something.
My foot is small to begin with. I'm sure many women have larger feet than I. Like, I'm guessing you wear a what, 11?
10 and a half.
10 and a half.
What about you?
You know, my housekeeper put Patrick's shoes in my closet because he's got shoes that he leaves here, right? So I'm looking at these shoes. I don't even recognize the shoes, right? I'm like, what the fuck is this? So I pull out the shoe, right? Bro, it looked like a... He's an 11, right? I'm a 9.5. And you take an 11 compared to a 9.5, bro, it's like they were heavy. You know what I'm saying? Like I took the shoes out. I go, "Ee, this guy's got you had another size and a half to a shoe." You need two hands to get these things out of the closet.
Right. They cost more. There's more material.
Yeah.
You know? It takes a lot. I mean, now my thing, exactly everything you're saying, but it's dark and it's in your bedroom and you go to grab your shoes, but instead you grab Patrick's. But instead of that being Patrick's, that's your wife's. You cool with that? You go, oh those are my wife's because those are heavy. Those are 11 and a half. You know, that's like.
I don't know, bro. I think that's. Yeah. I got to see it to look at it to see if it even makes sense. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know what a size 12 looks on a female body frame at 5'7", 5'8". I don't even know what that looks like.
What if someone wants to set you up? I got a gal. She's real pretty. I'm honest. Like, she's real pretty. She's a really great girl. But before you meet her, I just want you to know, you know, she wears a size 11 and a half men's. So, you know, I don't know, like, you know, before you meet her and fall in love with her and then have to decide if that's something you could deal with, I'm just telling you ahead of time, if you'd rather not meet her at all because she's 11 and a half, or would you be like, bring her out, bring her out?
I think I go just out of curiosity to see even what that looks like, but I'm going to flip it. I'm going to flip it on the other side. What if she's got a size 2, like small, like awkwardly small? Right. And she's 5'8", right? She's wearing like Serafina's shoes.
Like, that's the same thing. I think like yeah, it's a bit of a deformity, isn't it? Like an undersized foot. Then I got to worry about, you know, my kid's gonna have small feet, maybe even smaller. Like, are they gonna get the double down on the small gene? I did a bit on stage a couple of weeks ago. Some guy was telling me in the front row, he's only got one eye. I said, you wear contacts? He goes, only one. The other eye's fine. And he's with a woman. And I said to her, see now, like right there, I'd have to ask, what's up with that one eye? Is it going to just always need a contact or is it slowly dying? Because I'm not dating a patch guy in 10 fucking years, right? So it's not so much the small feet thing. Is it going to be an issue by the time you're 40? You're not going to be able to fucking walk because your feet are so small. And now you're in a wheelchair. Get it. I'm thinking long term.
So, let me ask you this. God forbid, Jackie's eye died. She wakes up, right eye's dead. And she needs a patch, right?
I got to do it, right? It came out of nowhere. This came out of nowhere.
But you're saying if you're...
She'll have the bagel.
I don't know where we're going with this, bro. I have no idea.
I know, bro. This ain't right.
The show has ended.
My goals for 2024. I want to have the podcast be in the top 10. Oh, just because I wrote it on a paper, that's going to fucking happen?